Welcome to the happy hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. But today on the happy hour, as always, we're filling up your cup with positivity and optimism, talking with the people in the community that are making the positive impact. And so, you know, we're still in our infancy stages, but this show is just all about the goodness and the happiness, because we all know, we all say that talk radio tends to have so much negativity. Well, guess what? We're changing it with this show. And so, just a shout out, if you know anybody, or if you're somebody, or your organization would like to be showcased, reach out to me. Speaking about reaching out, you can call us, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, toll free 357-20. You can also text us, 422-4796. And you can tune in streaming live on Guardian Talk Radio. Hello to my Long Island people who already tell me y'all listening in. I promise to behave today. And then we also have BTC Channel 612, Cable Bahamas Channel 969. And follow us on all socials, The Happy Hour. This is Deandra Cartwright. I am so delighted that you're in. And yes, I do sound hyper. I had 3 shots of espresso. I have been up from 4 something, because guess what? Starting your day with physical activity, fitness, runs. This is a great shout out to the Rotary Clubs of the Bahamas for their peace walk this morning, where we were drawing attention to the need for peace in our country. So just want to give a special shout out. Of course, you all know I have a bias as a Rotarian, but I just wanted to put that out there. There are lots of activities going on today. Lots of good things to do. Please check your socials and you'll find out all that good stuff. Now, today, you know, we've had so many people reaching out, but I reached out to this group because I just thought that we need to continue this conversation on the status of women in our country and the efforts that are being undertaken to advance us and what we need. So last week we heard from Zonta. We are hoping to have another Zonta Club come on next week along with the Bahamas Crisis Center. We are about to enter the 16 days of activism. And as you know, this month, we will also be commemorating the International Day to Eliminate Violence Against Women. So I will be focusing on women-centric organizations. So joining me this morning, and you know, they're quite auspicious, so hopefully I don't get all of these things right. And I'm sure we've all heard about them. But with me this morning are representatives of Caribbean Women in Leadership, the Bahamas chapter. Joining me today, we have Robin Lyons, the chair, Cherise Cox-Nottage, the deputy chair, and Mashina Culmer, the treasurer. Now, I'm going to let them start off with just telling us the most personally, and then we want to hear more about what in the world is the Caribbean Women in Leadership, which we also call CWIL. So, of course, we will have to get it started with Madam Chair.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody that's listening. A special thank you to our host, the incomparable Ms. Cartwright, for this invitation. I want to say good morning to my sisters sitting at the table with me. You hear a bit more from them as the show goes on. But my name is Robin Lines. I serve as the chairwoman of Caribbean Women in Leadership. I'm an attorney by profession. Like when I talk to some of my youth, I tell them I'm a professional hustler. I work hard, right? So I'm an attorney by profession and a patriot at heart, philanthropist, all of those things that you do when you're trying to do good. And so I'm just pleased to be here and to make some space with you and my sisters to talk about a topic that I think is worthy of conversation. So thank you.
Absolute pleasure to have you here, Madam Deputy Chair.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We're happy to be here, in particular with our dear friend and amazing personality, Ms. Cartwright. I'm an attorney by profession, but I've worked in the financial services for the past 20-odd years. So as well, we're part of a number of women's organizations trying to do good as well as be good citizens. And we look forward to the really interesting and challenging conversations that will no doubt be stimulating and work towards the greater good. So thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. And we're hoping that those beautiful persons that usually call and text the station, that y'all should listen to what the women have to say before we do any of that. But of course, this is an hour of just pure happiness. And so we will see if I decide to answer you or not. And then if you send the messages, then I'll talk to you there. Matt, last but definitely not least.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Shayna Kalmer. I have a background in the accounting field. I am currently employed at the National Insurance Board in the compliance area. But I have always been a very strong proponent of women in leadership, and particularly women in politics. So for me, this is very, very passionate, because it is something I would like to see grow tremendously, so much more than what we can currently see in our country. So looking forward to the conversation.
That's a beautiful segue into trying to understand better what in the world is CWIL. And then if you are not tuned in, you're not streaming, you're not seeing us here in studio, purple is the color, and so we also want to hear, what does that signify? Those of you who can't see me, we're still in homecoming with UB, okay? So I'm wearing my UB blue. Proud alumna here. So Madam Chair, Ms. Deputy Chair, Madam Treasurer, anybody, take the floor. Tell me what a CWIL.
Well, I'll start it off, and then my sisters will chime in too. But, you know, all the way back in the early 80s, I think it was, there was these phenomenal women in the Caribbean who decided that women in leadership should not just be a construct that happens haphazardly, right? That in order for us to ensure the ascendance of women in key positions, it needed to be intentional. So CWIL, C-I-W-I-L, was actually Caribbean Institute for Women in Leadership, because there was a recognition that there needed to be training. There needed to be spaces where women could get the support that they needed, not just to be in leadership, but to stay there, right? How do we build capacity? So CWIL really was birthed out of this idea that in our collective, women would come together who are already in leadership, support other women in leadership, and train, build, just lead the next generation of women. So that is how it started. And today we are 9 chapters strong throughout the Caribbean, with 2 chapters pending. We're in Jamaica, Antigua and Barbuda, Kitts and Nevis, Trinidad and Tobago, the Bahamas, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Belize, all over 9, right? And the focus of Caribbean Women in Leadership really and truly is to build women in leadership spaces and girls in leadership spaces through ADDI, through networking, through training and programs and initiatives, but also through support. I think that where we fall short is that we have so many women that do lead, but when they're leading, they lead alone. It can be a very isolating, a very lonely space. So CWIL is also there to support women as they lead. And I think we're still grasping this idea of how do we do that when we want to be bipartisan, right? And we don't want to appear to be yielding to any particular political persuasion. How do we do that? How do we balance that? And we're working every day. And so, DC, you want to chime in, Madam Treasurer?
Sure. No, I think that's excellent. Great background, Madam Chair. I'll also add to that, in addition to making space for women to grow and learn, it's also an opportunity. Civil presents a platform for women, truthfully, to fall, to stumble, to correct, to support each other, because we have a lot of women who, and I admittedly, it's a lot of people who don't know details about, you know, things in life, in the working of a government. But it's getting them that information, getting them that detail, having them ask questions in a forum that's safe, that's comforting, and more importantly, matching them with women who have traveled the road before.
Absolutely.
We have had, 2 years ago, we put on a retreat, basically, for parliamentarians, current parliamentarians, women parliamentarians, and former parliamentarians. Tremendous, across the board, bipartisan mixture of women who have tread the road before, along with those who were currently in Parliament, but as well as those who were far younger, who were sort of interested and curious. And it's about bringing women along in a space to ask difficult, challenging questions, to hear the war stories, and to hear, gee, what I wish I had done differently, from women who had been that way. So it's meant to be very supportive, very encouraging, so that we all get to the ultimate goal of, quite frankly, getting the best person in government to serve us all.
Absolutely.
Now, I know, Madam Treasurer, you are biting to join this conversation.
Well, I know one of the big questions.
You got to speak into the mic so everybody can hear you.
One of the major questions that a lot of persons may have is, how old is Seaville and how long have we been here? I just want to point out that Seaville has been in the Bahamas since 2019. A representative from the regional body would have reached out to members at the at social services, and the director at that time would have reached out to a number of NGOs to try to get women involved in the organization. Women coming there were coming from different political organizations. They were all very excited to be a part of the organization, and we want them to know that we are still here, and the invitation is still open to all women from different political backgrounds and organizations. So please reach out to us and let us work together to see how we as women can really push this agenda forward and get more persons like us to represent us.
Now, you said a very important word right there, agenda. Tell us more about the agenda, the expectations, the hope of Seaville, not just around the Caribbean, but let's bring it home. What are the hopes and the expectations of such an auspicious organization that's only primary purpose, not only, but primary purpose is to see more women in leadership? What does that look like? How is that reflected?
Well, you know, if I had my way.
Don't start there.
You know, so it's important when we start exploring what are the objectives.
Sure.
What are the realities?
Yeah.
Because we just saw what happened in with our neighbors to the north with a female candidate. We've seen for decades throughout how many elections what happens with female candidates. We have heard how difficult it is for women to actually get nominated within constituencies. We see the challenges that women have in the workplace. Tell us a bit more about the realities, because I think that's important to link to the objectives.
Sure. We are, and in a way similarly to our neighbors to the north, but also dissimilarly, we realize that, of course, you have the longstanding, entrenched views of women in leadership. Part of that is also entrenched because of the absence of women. And I'm not just talking about numbers. I'm talking about women really at the pinnacle who are in major decision-making roles, not just figureheaded roles. So the aim is to ensure that women have the knowledge, the ability, and capacity to function at that level. And that means training specifically in you know, parliamentary procedures and practices, but also getting to know and become familiar with the very critical topics. Like, for example, you know, climate change sounds sexy, nice throwaway phrase, but how many people really and truly know what's involved and really what's behind that? And so it's trying to get women to look forward, to see what's on the horizon, what needs to be dealt with now, as well as dealing with things in the future, and being all around well-versed to represent the country. So, Madam Chair, I know you have something to say.
Well, so I just wanted to add to what my colleague Cherise would have mentioned. I think one of the major obstacles to women in leadership and actually trying to get into the political spaces is a bias that we experience. And I am thinking about the conscious and the unconscious bias. Persons have an image of what their political leaders should be, what their political leaders should look like, and what they expect from the political leaders. So when you see a female presents herself, in a lot of our psyches, that is not what we normally see. That is not what we normally expect. And so persons may look at a female as being out of her league, not being able to measure up. Some may actually consider her to be masculine, because some of the things, some of the expectations from a leader, we have only seen from the male figure. And so one of the things I believe we need to look at again is our bias. And is it real or is it imagined?
I think that within itself is something that our culture is still unraveling. There are still persons who do not acknowledge that there is a bias. There are still many folks who perpetuate this bias, and there are not enough persons that are working to break this bias. We see, again, in the workplace, in the churches, in politics, in any form of circumstance that has an element of power involved, that there is a ceiling that seemingly isn't able to be broken. I just think, you know, the efforts of organizations such as CEWIL to acknowledge that this exists and share ways and how this can be broken is so very crucial. But I know that for all of the good efforts that your organization has faced, there have obviously been some pushback from some ends. I want to know, how did you perhaps share an example, but also how do you overcome these things?
And thank you to Cherise and Sheena for those enlightening comments on the question. I want to piggyback on what they're saying and then answer your question about the challenges. You know, one of the things that we were learning that is so important is how do we harness the power of the collective, right? Because whilst we may be talking in a lot of times and referring to politics, referring to legislation, referring to women in leadership in political spheres, CEWIL is not about women in political leadership. CEWIL is about women in leadership in mm-hmm. general. So whether that is in the church, whether that is in business, whether that is in community, whether that's in politics, wherever it is, we are there because we recognize that women don't lead like men. See, that's the importance of what, when we talk about the CEWIL agenda, the women's agenda, it's not anti-men. And I think sometimes the conversation gets so convoluted in this, in the odds that women are coming, women are building, women are moving, and the men are being pushed out. Little girls are rising, so boys are being pushed out. Women are rising, so men are being pushed out. It's a nonsensical conversation to have, and it's something that we ought to try and nip in the bud. What we're saying in CEWIL is that when men and women lead, when there is gender parity, when there is equity in leadership spaces, then all of what a leader brings because he is male in his natural understanding and construct, all of what a leader brings because she is female in her natural understanding and construct, when we have both at the table, we are in a better position. I'm going to consider things because I'm a woman that a man may not consider. Mm-hmm. Just as simple as how we build, how we structure. And so, you know, one of the challenges that we face is just that. People seeing the women's agenda as a takeover movement. And that is not what it is. This is to give voice to a sect of our country that leads in numbers in terms of population. But whilst we still find a lot of issues that are not being addressed because women aren't there to address them. So when you talk about, even buildings, right? When you talk about where the restroom is located, when you talk about how the parking is lit and how far it is from the door and all of these small things, men and women require different things. Mm-hmm. When we talk about a country, the same thing applies. And we still have a very strong kind of patriarchal mindset mm-hmm. about governance, about laws, about policy, about legislation. And it is isolating the largest sect of your country. So I'm not talking about women in leadership with the absence of men. We're talking about women in leadership equal to men, recognizing that if we don't get it right, if our girls and our boys aren't represented, if our men and our women aren't represented, our country will continue to lack. That is our agenda. That is our goal.
That's powerful. I felt chills.
Yes, should have.
I'm hoping that folks who are, if you're listening, like, I mean, I know quite a few persons may not even have known about Sewell as much. And this is why we want to have you on, so we can draw more attention to the fabulous work that you are doing. Now, you mentioned the collective. And I know that Sewell has been doing great work in terms of collaboration with sister organizations. And again, I prefaced our show talking about this month is near and dear to me
yes.
for particular reasons. So tell me a little bit more about some of these collaborative efforts. Now, I see Sheena looking at me, so that I feel like you have this.
She does.
Well, we have done some work with other organizations like Zonta.
Mm-hmm.
They're 16 Days of Activism. We would have worked with them last year, I believe the year before as well. And so we invite women from similar organizations as that to work along with us in their initiatives as well, because the whole idea, we do understand it's not only about us. So we do encourage partnerships and we work along with them to build their programs. And the same is expected from our side. Once persons who have similar interests to us choose to get involved, we invite them on board to participate. And so we have been building a stronger organization as a result mm-hmm. for the past several years because of those partnerships.
Absolutely. Now,
partnerships are critical. Yes. Being somebody who's worked with several government agencies, within that realm, I've seen the power of partnerships. And I'm happy to know that Sewell is leveraging that. But Madam Chair, you had something desperate to say.
I wanted to add that we're also part of Women United, which is one of our sister organizations that looks at other organizations that mm-hmm. support women and kind of bringing us together. We have worked along with Princess Court Ministries in supporting okay. them with Stephanie Frith. And we also join when there are women in our organization who have organizations, because Sewell is attracting leaders, and some of these leaders have nonprofit organizations. They have works that they do. The leader for Straw is part of us.
Terry Cunningham.
Yeah, that's right. Sewell sits with the National Women's Advisory Council, and we're part of that.
Good.
Moving, and so we're all over the place, and I think that people are going to hear a lot more from us as we ramp up our public relations, because what we've been doing over the last several years is working internally and trying to build that strength. And as Sister Cox talked about, we've done so many different things, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Of course. I think we have our first caller for the hour. Good day, caller. Are you there?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear. How are you?
Awesome. I'm great. I hope you're doing fine. I love this show.
Awesome.
This is the first time I'm hearing about the organization and loving it. But I would like to add something to what was said regarding the placement of buildings, like, example, parking lots mm-hmm. on the premises and how far they should be from the place, and it should be well lit.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that has not been taken into consideration, and I'm in the education field, a lot of our schools do not have air conditioning. And women who are going through menopause are suffering. They do get the fans. Sometimes wonderful parents buy fans for the teachers. Of course, most of the time they turn them on the children. But they sometimes buy their little tiny portable fans as well. But women who are going through menopause are having a hard time in these hot classes. They are steaming hot. Most of the time the fans are blowing hot air. Women who are going through menopause are suffering in these classrooms. And I walk around and I always say I feel so badly for them because they don't have access to air conditioning. Some classes have, maybe two classes have, but there are schools with none. And so I'm asking and begging the powers that be if they could reconsider. See, they're in their plush offices where they are either central air or air conditioning available to them. Our schools don't have them for the most part. Some schools are air conditioned, but the majority are not. If someone could please, women going through menopause is not easy. I am not going through it, but I've seen what my mommy and my sister went through.
Right.
And I am seeing what teachers, some are very young, some are in their 30s, some are in their 40s going through it, and it's not good. So I just want to put that plug there, but want to say I love your show. Keep it up. And to Ms. Lines,
yes,
congratulations, you're doing a super job. I look forward to hearing even more about your organization. So thank you very much. And if you could just put that plug out there, please.
Put that plug out there right there for everybody listening. And Ms. Lyons is waiting to respond to you.
I actually want to tell her, please give the producers your name and number so that we can reach out to you even after this event, because you have your heart and mind in the right place and you're just what Sewell is looking for. So please do that for us.
Awesome. I'll do that. Thank you so very much.
Excellent. And just before, I know you have a response, I know you want to say something, but I also want to say something because I don't want anybody else to get in trouble. And I'm at this point in life where I can say what I need to say. The God honest truth is, and this is something I've been observing for quite some time, because those of you who also know me in other spheres, you would know that my background is in human rights, more so children's rights, women's rights, the rights of the persons with disabilities. And I've always acknowledged it, even as a child. Why is it? And I would love, because I've never gotten a response, even from my time working in government and after. Why is it that offices are air-conditioned on public school campuses, but not classrooms? If your administrators cannot last without air conditions, why is it that our classrooms cannot have the same thing? Why is it that we are demonstrating to our young people that there is an imbalance, a disparity in how they are treated versus those in power? We are literally illustrating to them on a daily basis that they are lesser than. You have to excuse me if I sound like I'm getting a little bit passionate. I am, because if you literally, as the caller said, if you go onto a public school campus, and it's not just public schools, because you have some private schools who don't have air-conditioned classrooms. And forgive me if I move away from just solely the teacher, because it's the teacher and the child that isn't, regardless of age, that are having to stay in classrooms that are currently over 100 degrees on any given day because of things like climate change. So again, I add my voice to the caller, to the powers that be. Explain to us as a public, why is this happening and why is it being permitted? I do not understand, but thank you so much, caller.
Can I also add that the preschool units have air conditioned? So what is the subliminal message you're telling me? It's okay that the little, and I love all children. I really don't care the age, but you're saying to me it's okay for the preschoolers to have it, but the bigger children don't need it. And like you said, regarding the office, I totally agree because I am in the office and I say the same thing. And that is why I get out and I go around the classrooms because I want the teachers to say, look, we are in this fight together.
Right.
I should not be the only one benefiting from it. We should all benefit.
Exactly.
And it is so hard. When you see them sweating, the sweat is pouring off of them. And there's nothing I could do. So that is my appeal, and I am very much passionate about it. We need to have parity. The men don't understand this. I mean, if they
I want you to know. And as we get you to our producers to leave your name and number because we have some other things to get onto. But I think yes, women going through menopause, it does directly impact them. But I have seen it from every person inside the classroom. And I'm happy that we're spotlighting our women. We need to provide these things to provide comfort. But how do we do so? And a lot of them will go back and say, this is about resources. But if resources can come through avenues such as partnerships, and I believe that's what we were going to continue to speak about as well. How are we... Actually, before I jumped the gun, you had something to say before I got
into that. You said it. You said it. You absolutely hit the nail on the head. And again... What the caller talked about highlights again and reinforces what we're talking about. Women have to advance issues facing women and girls. Mm-hmm. Because he who feels it knows it, my grandmother used to say. When you're not speaking from an experience that you have had or one that you can relate to, it's a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to things that involve women, we don't need the conversation to just be glossed over. We don't need things to just be mentioned because someone wants to put it in a speech because it sounds good, because it hits the right chords, it gives the right kind of mileage, but at the end of the day, nothing happens. It doesn't go any further than what is said. We need women to do. We need women to act. We need women to be able to respond. And when they are positioned in places of leadership, right? Because how many schools have vice principals and principals that are women, right?
Mm-hmm.
So speak up, speak louder, find the voices of your sisters and let us speak with you. But we cannot allow things to stay the way they are. And we're not, again, harnessing the power.
Amen. You mentioned something, quite a few things that are critical. But I think sometimes... And you said it, the power of the collective, the power of the voices, bringing everybody together on these issues that impact one of us, some of us, all of us.
Yes.
Imagine if we had more persons that spoke out against this. I mean, we saw the power of social media that instigated the outrage for the situation on Grand Bahama when an elderly person allegedly was being abused, right? Imagine if we had more of an outcry of what's going on with our children every day, what's going on with our women. But then also more persons that are willing to put themselves forward to help with these things. Because I fancy as Bahamians, we love to talk. Mm. We love to talk, but when it comes for action, let somebody else deal with that. Because I cannot, or I don't think I can, I don't have the time to, and maybe somebody else is better at doing it, right? But we have to be able to put ourselves forward. How can we help? There are so many different organizations. You are listening in to SeaWill, who is doing great things. There are many organizations, and I say this every week on the show, get involved. There's a lot of goodness going on, but do we throw our support behind them? As much as we like to complain, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to also just touch on something, and the caller made mention to the importance of actually ensuring that our girls know that they have the opportunity. And SeaWill has something called the Eagle Program, right? So I want y'all to talk to us about that. What is the Eagle Program?
Well, I think definitely Madam DC has to lead this, but I'll just say that in a nutshell, the Eagle Program is the recognition that it's easier to teach a girl that she is a leader than to convince a woman that she can be.
Powerful.
That's what Eagle is about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easier to teach a girl that she is as opposed to convincing a woman of what she can be.
Listen, that is so powerful. It reminds me of my baby sister. You know, some of the challenges I had growing up in a very sexist environment at school and civic life and whatnot, because I've been at this for more than 2 decades at this point. And she does not know that reality because of how we are raising her, of who she is surrounded by, the open-mindedness. And she's not afraid to speak up and speak out, not only for herself, but for others. Yeah. And so something like the Eagle program is necessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Madam Chair. Yeah, we basically last year we decided to come together and put on an initiative designed to really pitch it at an age group 16 really to 23-year-olds. And we wanted to expose them to information from other women leaders who weren't just political, although we had very eminent women who had been active politically. But we also wanted to expose them to people in business.
Okay.
And that was done as well. And things like a small business
Development Center. SBDC. They do great work.
They do excellent work. Excellent work. We also, of course, people like, of course, Loretta Butler-Turner, mm-hmm. As a politician, but also, of course, her perspective as obviously a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. Darnell Osborne, obviously her experiences in the, obviously, executive of a major corporation, but also was a very prominent businesswoman, et cetera. And we wanted to expose these young women to those women at that level with their thoughts, with their energy, quite frankly, with their war stories, and to let them know that there are no limits. And we wanted to ensure that there weren't limits on their minds based on their sex and gender. So it was a very, very wonderful pilot program that we instituted. I think, if I may be allowed to say, so successful and attractive that we got some support from a very prominent place, a grant to continue it, and we intend to do that on a larger scale as we roll out.
Now you have to say EAGLE is an acronym. Let them know what it stands for.
If I can remember it in full. Sorry, Madam Chair.
While she confirms that, we have a texter, and you remember I did tell y'all that we have some. So this is one of our regulars. Good morning to you, to Dale. Considering the air condition issue, one, colonial kingdomism is at work, and two, politicians shy away from what they get burnt on. Sir Cecil and the PLP all air condo schools with no windows were scorned upon. Oh, boy. The thing is, do we really think that's what it is? I want to dive deeper, because how long could we rely on past political reasonings or whatnot? What's the real reason right now? Maybe you know that. Let me know. Text me back. But I also see that you ladies, because time is going by so quickly. We only have 15 minutes
really?
Left.
Right? We just got here.
I know. It feels What's like happening? That. Time flies when you're having fun. But we're going to take a quick break right now. So stay tuned here with the Happy Hour with Deandra Cartwright here on Guardian Radio 96.9. And replenish your cup of happiness, joy, optimism, and positivity when we get back from these messages.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance. Do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Mm.
all those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
It turns out that there's more than one special gift to give that special someone this Christmas. Consumers are searching for the perfect presents and the right prices, so what better way than to place your products or services in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide? This year's Christmas shoppers will be sure to find that special something for everyone on their list. For an all-inclusive price, you can have your ads published twice in December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide, in addition to 10, 15, and 30-second commercials, and not to mention a web ad on the Nassau Guardians website. Advertising deadline is November 29th, remember. For more information, contact your sales agents or call the Nassau Guardian Advertising Department at 302-2300. That's 302-2300, and ask about our Holiday Gift Guide Media Bundle. You won't want to miss this opportunity. Ring in those holiday profits by placing an ad in the Nassau Guardian Holiday Gift Guide.
We're back with the happy hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is DeAndra Cartwright, and I am so happy that you tuned in, and we hope that your cup has been filled to the brim, maybe overflowing, with positivity and optimism about the status of women in our country by listening in to Sheena, Cherise, and Robin from Seawell, Bahamas, that are talking to us about empowering women. Well, we wanted to wind down onto,
I just wanted to give the acronym for EAGLE.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry. EAGLE stands for Encouraging the Advancement of Girls in Leadership and Entrepreneurship.
E-A-G-L-E. I love that.
Isn't it powerful?
Yes. And you're soaring high. I know this is great. And obviously, everybody can find out information about Seawell from your social media, your website, things like that, right? I did try to find you on LinkedIn. I was not able to. So hopefully, we all get on LinkedIn too.
Facebook
as well. And then, you know, the young people are no longer necessarily on Instagram, but they're on TikTok. So we have to find them where they are. So hopefully, we could get that going. And I know, Miss Madam Cherise, you're looking at me because I was supposed to, you know, help out with some things. So
yeah,
I know.
We'll
talk off air.
Yes, we will.
I think she's apologizing. So that's good. She understands the error of her ways.
Yes, yes. Hey, I'm a Long Island woman raised by older folks. So trust me. Right. Well versed with that.
We forgive.
Thank you. So we have talked about quite a bit so far in our short time. But we also... Elections are looming, ladies and gentlemen, whether we want to admit that or not. The season has already begun. We've seen some soft politicking. And so we want to just have a chat now about, in our last few moments, of course, about how do we get more women into the next elections, right, here in our country? And then also, how can we advance, do more to draw attention to the status of women? And we mentioned possibly more forums like this. But before we get to that, Sheena, you were telling us all about some more options about how we can have more female candidates in the general elections.
Well, one of the things that I feel pretty strongly about is the necessity of the parties in introducing quotas. When you think about selecting your candidates, it would be so useful to have a minimum quota
for females. And internationally, it has been suggested that 30% is a suitable quota level to start with. But in my personal opinion, I believe women are represented in society at 50%. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see 50% requirement for females on our ballots.
Now, you know, I got to play devil's advocate. And some persons would say if you, you know, introduce this notion of quotas, which could be seen as affirmative action, then that's kind of forcing the parties to your agenda.
Well, sometimes what would you say have to be that? Intentional. You have to be intentional. If you want it to happen, you have to make considerate effort to ensure that it happens.
Yeah. See, you're saying, you're answering me straight. I like that.
Sure. Yeah. And you mean affirmative action like the boys' club, the boys' buddy club? Like that?
No. You know, and it's
because, I mean, they bring in the buddies, right?
Right. No, so the thing is that, you know, traditionally, well, that's cronyism. Well. But affirmative action in its traditional sense, you know, before it got convoluted within the politicking, depending on which country, it's just the advancement of more vulnerable groups, more underrepresented groups. So in college admissions, it looks like you are trying to get more minority groups, more African Americans, more Caribbean folks, things like that. Those persons that have come from a life that has been rough for them, things like that. Affirmative action in the workplace, you have more women, you have more persons from a particular demographic or whatnot. These are things that don't necessarily, you don't see here. You see it more in on the international stage. And I've told people for eons that, as Sheena has said, there are international standards, but do we adhere to it? Mm-hmm. But outside of the quota, what else could be done? Because we still have time to get this into the atmosphere, to spark this conversation, because we haven't had any candidates formally announced per se, at least the entire slates of certain parties have not been announced. So what more outside of quotas could be done? And I think Chair Robin was saying during the break that a part of this is that are we removing the obstacles and barriers, the challenges that women face in order to even consider putting themselves forward for nomination. And then further to that, what about the constituency level? Like, let's talk a bit more. Like, outside of quotas, what more could be done?
Thank you. I think one of the other things that we can do as a body is to ensure that the financing that is necessary for a woman to mount a strong campaign is available. A lot of times where the hindrance comes is that it is expensive. It is expensive to participate.
They just estimated that it takes $70,000 minimum for a campaign to even start.
Exactly. So it's expensive to be part of the political conversation and to offer yourself for political office. We don't have campaign financing legislation in the country. And so what tends to happen is because of this patriarchal concept, because there is the boys' club in existence, the money lies there. So a lot of times women don't even have access to kind of funding that they need. And when funding is available to them, at what cost? If we really want to have an honest conversation. So what needs to happen is people need to financially support the women that you want to see lead. It's not enough to tell her, go, you're smart, you're intelligent, you're passionate, you understand the issues, you're educated, you know what it means to lead, and then send her out there and not even be willing to contribute a dollar. It is important for us to put our money where we say our passion lies. You want to see women lead? Then be willing to financially support that woman so that her voice does not have to be stifled by her need. The second thing I would tell people is politics is sexist. It is misogynist. And oftentimes when people are judging women, they're talking about what you got on, how your hair look and your shoes and your this and your that. And more women need to speak and condemn that kind of rhetoric, that kind of conversation, that kind of insult.
I got to play devil's advocate again, because I have heard this on multiple fora within the last year and for eons. sometimes it's women doing that to women.
That's why more women need to condemn. Yeah. That's why I didn't say only because guess what? People don't even understand. Women can be misogynist.
Yes.
Women can be sexist.
That's the point.
This is
right?
Women can
think in their own minds that women need to be home, barefoot, and pregnant.
I mean,
women have those ideals. Women not only have those ideals, you have some women in this country who want to punish a woman for her bravery, want to punish her for the fact that she believes that she can be anything, and she's teaching her children that she could be anything. The last thing I'll say, because I want to give my sisters an opportunity, we need to redefine what the political culture is in this country. If we want to see other people come into political spaces, redefine it. Because so far, we have allowed it to be so filthy, so nasty, that people think that only the nasty want to get into it. So as soon, and I told somebody this, I served in the Senate, and I told people this, I had never been questioned about my integrity until I took the appointment. I didn't change. I didn't do anything, but people associated me with how they associate politics. And they didn't believe that I could still be me and be in that. It's the filth that we've brought into national conversations and discourse. Why? Because we are trying to discourage people who are right-thinking, who mean this country well, and who want to see us develop. Well, what I say to those people, put on your plastic swimsuit and get in. Don't let it get on you, but get in, because evil prevails when good men, good women, good people do nothing.
My goodness, I just feel like we ended a sermon now.
Amen.
But I hope that to our listeners that you are listening, marinating, and letting this really help you understand and appreciate better what we need to do as a society to give our women a fair chance.
Amen.
And organizations such as CWIL is one of those pathways to ensuring that our women have that chance. So as we wrap up, because I see the next host is here and I don't like holding up on her time, we just want to have our closing words from each of you very quickly.
Well, I will say thank you very much for having us. I will also say, to add to what Madam Chair has been saying, you know, women, we have to change as a priority the way that women see, treat, and think about other women. And not just politically, but that goes deep, even to the level of, for example, jury trials. The majority of juries in this Bahamas are comprised of women. And women, the prosecutors will tell you, the women generally choose to believe an alleged perpetrator versus some women witnesses. Now, sometimes there's obviously evidence that comes into it, but sometimes almost as a default, there is a failure, an unwillingness to believe other women. That's a huge psychological problem, and the misogyny that was spoken about that we have to get over. Right? The same way black people can be racist against black people, it's the same way there's a problem often with our thinking as women. So we have to change our mindset across the board for our greater national good.
That's powerful. Sheena?
Okay, so just to piggyback on what was said before, I want to encourage good women, strong women, women of integrity to step forward to become leaders in our society. We need you to represent other women, to represent our views and our needs. And I encourage other women to support those good women.
Good. And Madam Chair.
Just in closing, again, thank you so much. One of the things that I think we need to do is have more spaces for intelligent, sound conversation. So many times talk radio has become what's trending and what's ratchet, right? Because that's entertainment. And that is what it seems the majority of people gravitate toward. But we have to continue to put what is sensible out there, because sensible people are still listening. We have to become the majority again, where people want to talk about things that actually matter. So thank you so much for being a voice of reason in this country, and being a woman doing it. We're proud of you. Siebel is proud of you. And one of the things I want to say, if you are a leading woman under the sound of our voices, if you are trying to advance for the betterment of yourself, your family, your country, Siebel needs you. And so in my closing, I would ask you to check us out on Facebook at Siebel Bahamas Chapter. We're going to leave a number that you can, with the radio producers, that you can call and get to reach out to us, because one of the things we need to understand, we are not succeeding alone. We are not succeeding alone. Women all over this country are doing things in their spaces, and we are failing. If we don't come together, we will not succeed. Siebel needs you.
And on that note, and we'll also include all of the details on our Facebook pages, thank you so much for tuning in. Oh, goodness, I was going to say the eye opener because I did that for so long. And this is a Saturday, but thank you for tuning in to the Happy Hour with DeAndra Cart right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We will be back next Saturday, but stay tuned for the rest of the fabulous programming that we have here with Madam Stania Davis.